Good evening, this is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and we got a very special show tonight. Two live guests from BARF, Biblical America Resistance Front, from BARF.org. Mike and Sabina are in the house, and we're going to speak with BARF live after the first set of songs. Since BARF has brought all of their pleasure toys and vibrating crucifixes, how do you pluralize that? Crucify or crucifies? We're going to fool around during the first couple songs and get in the mood and touch ourselves and pleasure ourselves and really get ready for a good show. And so you can join in. We're going to start off with Chuck Berry doing My Ding-a-Ling. Go, Lord, make this machine work. That's it.
We got to do our alma mater. We must do our alma mater. When I was a little bitty boy, my grandmother bought me a cute little toy. Silver bells hanging on a string. She told me it was my ding-a-ling-a-ling. Oh,
ding-a-ling.
Beautiful, beautiful. And then Mama took me to grammar school, but I stopped off in the vestibule. Every time that bell would ring, catch me playing with my ding-a-ling-a-ling. Oh,
ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling.
That is beautiful. You know what I heard? I hear two girls over here singing in harmony. That's all right, honey. This is a free country. Live like you want to live, baby. Yeah. Ain't nobody going to knock it, darling. Mm-mm. Yeah, freedom. Yes, sir. There's one guy right over here singing mine, too. That's all right, brother. Yes, sir. You got a right, baby. Ain't nobody going to bother you. Okay. Once I was climbing the garden wall, I slipped and had a terrible fall. I fell so hard I heard bells ring, but held on to my ding-a-ling. Your parliament out there singing. Oh yeah. Once I was swimming across Turtle Creek, man, them snappers all around my feet. Sure was hard swimming across that thing with both hands holding my feet. Oh. That's so beautiful. I think it's a beautiful little song. Really, I do. And guess what? Everybody's still not singing. There's a few right down front here that's not singing. We're going to dedicate this verse to those who will not sing. Yes, sir. This here song, it ain't so sad. The cutest little song you ever had. Those of you who will not sing, you must be playing with your own ding-a-ling.
Ding-a-ling. Ding-a-ling.
You playing with your ding-a-ling. Oh my ding-a-ling. Everybody sing. I'm
be everybody mine. Oh my, slow down. I wanna play everybody with my genius.
No doubt Bill was meant to die. nearly escapes us. The morning breaks out, they burn this clinic to the ground. They see the devil in his face and shoot the windows from his place. They're for creation, not information, and they've killed 9 providers now to date. And the court decided twice again for Billy Baird. Cited Baird v. Eisenstadt 6 times in Roe v. Wade. Then Baird faced jail again, this time for rights of gays. For years he was denied the vote for felonies such as these. Some leaders thought he cut a deal too radical to be for real. Maybe his peers are played, maybe he's CIA, maybe he wouldn't last for long. 30 years and 9 has been and gone. Billy's doing fine and going strong. Still he's without a dime, fighting the good fight. People in the 60s in this song. What keeps you going, Billy Baird? What keeps the flowers in your hair? When you've been so long singing the good song, you keep the 60s rolling on and on and. You've been so long singing the good song, you keep the 60s rolling on.
You heard the Ramones doing Rock and Roll High School. Before that, Devo did Pink Pussycat. Sandy Rapp did Ballad of Billy Baird. Impatient Youth did Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammo. And started off with Chuck Berry, My Ding-a-ling. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on live every Sunday night at RadioVolta.org and relay broadcast live at AtheistNetwork.com, where the show is repeated throughout the week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 7 a.m. and 9 p.m., also East Coast Time, USA, and two independent radio stations in the state of Washington, one in Seattle and one in Olympia. If you want to write to the Reverend, write Rev Bookburn, care of Quail, as in Dan Quail, arguably the dumbest guy in public office before George W. Numbnuts Bush. Quail, Q-U-A-Y-L-E, Quail at sjcdc.org. And at that website, sjcdc.org, South Jersey Clinic Defense Coalition, you can check out an article entitled Theocracy and Sexual Freedom. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered and kink communities outside or across the street from Catholic fundamentalist or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church. Coming up on The Reverend Is In, a live coffee goddess to place a hex on the evil male masters of her food and coffee providership, the new job party for three, possibly four, people in inner Bookburn circles, the 25th anniversary of DOA, which technically is at the end of the month, but it might be late. Whenever Joe Keithley sends the Reverend a brand new CD, plus a unreleased stuff that's also coming out on CD, and his first book, all of that available or can be checked out in advance at their label, Sudden Death Records, suddendeath.com. Other live guests, including probably Deicide X, Hopeless Dregs of Humanity Band. And there's already very special plans made for late December for the Reverend's Holiday Tree and Balls special. Not one, but two live musical guests. The return of the great Lisa Bushell and the guest from a couple of weeks ago, Laura Shea. That's right, both of them for the Holiday Tree and Balls special. And accepting your ideas and tapes, and so far they've been a gold mine for the third anniversary show in January. There's also a ton of birthdays this month. We're going to play one birthday song tonight for Max, Dr. Susan Block's husband, and more birthdays in the next couple of weeks, and that'll be cool. And other live guests. And news and shows. The radio, speaking of shows, the Radio Volta benefit in Philadelphia is Tuesday night, November 18th, at the Khyber, which is 56 South 2nd Street in Old City, Philadelphia. 2nd Street between Chestnut and Market at 9 o'clock, featuring Paul Lewis, the Andy Brown Trio, Betsy Spivak, and Casey Hallford, thanks to DJ Cindy. On Wednesday nights, the Reverend saw the Peekaboo Review last night at the Five Spot in Philadelphia, and that had the New York cast, and that was, as always, phenomenal. And a big hello and thank you to Scott Johnston, the New York crew, Goddess Perlman, who also may be a live future guest, Diva DeVille, all of the cast of Peekaboo Review, and to Nisi of the Five Spot. And more about all of that in the future. We will stay in touch, and I'll keep you posted as to the reviews as they hopefully go on the road. I'm encouraging that big time. And we have life and death news. The death news is that a man named Ed Shemp died this past week. Well, in senior years, I'm not sure how old he was exactly. The Reverend met him several times. He was the guy who, he and his wife filed a lawsuit way, way back, like early 60s that led to the Supreme Court decision that got, that appropriately got, prayer out of public schools. And, other people, of course, came in to the picture and took credit, but that was actually Ed Shemp and his wife that fought and won that case. And, he passed away. He was a great person and active to the end and always in the newspapers with his letters about every kinds of issue from war to separation of church and state to whatever. And, so farewell to Ed Shemp and, a salute to him. And in life news, the Reverend in his work life, had a cat come into the picture, a cat who, to spare you a long story, was marked for death. The Reverend had to deal with in the course of his social work job, and a number of people came into the picture, including the life-saving colleague Madam X and a couple of other pro-reverend people who are in the picture. And ultimately, she has a home. She's going to live her full life in a very loving and nurturing environment with a person who does not work. So that's even more cool. And a big thank you to Madam X and the others who helped save her life and bring her back. She's a cute calico cat. To meet her is to love her. She is absolutely adorable. And that was certainly fantastic news. Tonight on The Reverend Is In, two dear friends and very special guests, Mike and Sabina, and they are from Barf. Barf. Biblical America Resistance Front. And if you want to see their webpage from the get-go, it is barf, B-A-R-F, .org. And we actually have a couple of barf songs, one of which I think you'll crack up when you hear it, as well as the one you brought. So I want to say welcome to The Reverend Is In. Hello, barf. I guess we could just start with an assumption that at the very least some listeners, and certainly new listeners, have not heard of BARF. So why don't we do like a BARF for the completely unfamiliar. What is BARF?
BARF is not really an organization. It's just the two of us, this me, Mike, and Sabina, and we are... webpage, of course, is BARF, by the way. And we spend a lot of our time over the past few years looking very closely at what we call Biblical America, which is basically the whole subculture that seeks to use its own interpretation of the Bible as an absolute guide, an absolute way of looking at all of governance and all social interaction for that matter. And we've basically been to lots of conventions, we've been to a lot of material, and we have put up a web page, and we're working on making some updates to that. But and ever since the two of us have been together, we've been having a rather interesting time.
Well, BARF actually began back in the early 90s as bisexual and radical feminist in Columbus, Ohio. The number of different people, not just myself, and eventually as I moved on to Washington, D.C., we passed out flyers at the large gay march in D.C., the queer march, and out of that came a whole connection of a pile of people from all over the country, and eventually even Canada, which became BARF International. And out of that, there were various small core groups that were founded in places like Columbus, Ohio, and Iowa, and Baltimore, my dear old friends in Baltibarf. And basically around 1996-1997, we ceased being a membership organization and sort of changed over to more of a two-person think tank, eventually changing the name to the Biblical America Resistance Front, resisting a biblical America.
Okay, I'm not even going to allow these good folks to be modest or sell themselves short. In this nation, with all of these fucking Taliban types and Christian supremacists running amok and influencing the Bush regime and even the crazier groups that are kind of modeled after Al-Qaeda, or actually the models for Al-Qaeda since they came along first, and making death threats and terroristic threats, not just against people in the abortion industry, but anybody who they consider sinful or immoral, etc. I have to say that BARF is among the best of what they call oppositional research, deeply researching and going to their functions and catching stuff on tape and digging up intelligence and information on these people who are largely under the media radar, and most people do not have a clue as to how alarming it's been getting. And I just want to say that you guys are the top of the line in this research. And maybe you could delve into that a little bit, unless you wanted to say something else before that.
Well, I mean, thank you for the compliments, Reverend. But it's really, you know, I guess the name BARF is kind of, you know, works on multiple ways. You really do have to have a very strong stomach to look at this stuff for the, I guess, the amount of time and the amount of times we have to look at it. And I've been doing this myself. I mean, Sabina has been doing this for a longer time. Okay, well, I got to be right here. Okay. Basically, I've only been doing this for relatively a few years compared to a lot of people and to Sabina, because obviously she had an organization before we got together. Can you goose my knob up there? There you go. Okay. Okay. but yeah, there we go. Okay. But the thing of it is that I was pretty much a neophyte to this until back in 97. We basically made our way out to Dayton, Ohio to watch Operation Rescue run around and terrorize clinics of sorts in the Dayton and Cincinnati areas. And after we did that for a while, we basically were out on the street listening to them talk, and we kind of got the idea that, you know, these people didn't just come out of the middle of nowhere. They didn't just materialize out of thin air. They came from somewhere, and the whole idea was to go back and figure out, well, where did these people come from? Okay, if they obviously came from churches or from church groups or from some other place. So we figured that, having seen them come up and say all sorts of things in front of clinics that were like, you know, basically completely against any idea of individual privacy in one's own house, or any right to basically disagree with them in any way, we basically figured, well, let's go back and kind of follow them back to where they came from. And that kind of led us into an odyssey where we ended up going to conventions in various parts of the country and other events of other organizations, and basically seeing all sorts of odd things, which have led to some of the articles that now are on our website,
which is at BARF, BARF.org. And there is probably way too much to even cover in one visit, but from knowing you two so long, I know that you know in detail about so many groups, so many specific figureheads, and so many of the leaders of these groups. Where do we start? Should we start with D. James Kennedy? I know he's a favorite of yours.
Well, yeah, Kennedy's kind of interesting, because once we had been to Dayton, we've kind of looked around to figure out, well, what other organizations would be interesting to go look at. And Kennedy's organization kind of came up on our radar as being, you know, potentially influential and very much under the radar. There was very little media attention given to what Kennedy was doing down in Fort Lauderdale. He has obviously a TV show that runs once a week, all pretty much all over the country and on satellite. But there really wasn't a lot of press on his conferences and other events that he was doing. So we went off to what was called the Reclaiming America for Christ conference. Back the first one we went to was back in February of '98, which is a real eye opener because when they go out and do their organizations, they go out in front of a clinic and protest, or if they're protesting against not Kennedy directly, but if you're looking at organizations that go and do other things, including going after content on TV, or going and working against equal benefits for same-sex partners or things like that, it all looks like there's all these different things going around in different directions, and they look separated in some way. But if you go to a convention like that, you see that they are all running out of the same mindset, the same paradigm, almost the same organization could be doing 50 different things in 50 different directions. And unless you go and see it from the way they organize, it may seem like the people who showed up on your doorstep are completely unconnected to the people who showed up on somewhere else. So if you go to a convention like that, you find out that it's all very much related. It's related to the people who leave tracks in the bathroom at the restaurant you go to. It's related to, because one of the things that they do is evangelism. That's one whole track of their program. Another track would be the whole anti-abortion activism things. Another whole track would be the whole idea of popularizing the idea that gays can just go do therapy and change into straight heterosexual people. And that very much falls under their big umbrella. And to see it from the other side is sometimes really eye-opening, and then you get some idea of the kind of values and things that kind of undergird the whole thing, which is another big discussion, I guess. But so it's been an eye-opener. We saw D. James Kennedy's conference. We also went to an American Life League conference at one point. And that's Judy Brown and the rest of her gang from Stafford, Virginia, and Flip Benham was there with Norma McCorvey, who is a subject of one of the main feature articles on our website right now, where if you go to the website, we feature them right now because the two trophy converts, as we call them, of the anti-abortion movement are featured because they've been showing up. I mean, even yesterday I saw a news article from somewhere in the country where Norma McCorvey, who was formerly likes to post herself as formerly Jane Doe or Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade, appeared somewhere speaking. And well, it turns out if you look at our article that she also appeared at the convention of basically a racist white supremacist organization. And this is not to say that she herself is a white supremacist, but by some means she ended up in that company, which is a very interesting tie-in, and it basically shows that there's all this fluidity that they flow from one end to the other, and you don't necessarily know where they've been. And we of course tracked this down about Norma, and there isn't a whole lot else to say about it other than that people flow from one end to the other in some ways. And the other trophy convert being Bernard Nathanson, who is one of the founders, or at least he says he's a founder anyway, of NARAL back in the old days. And he had some very interesting things to say about his conversion to basically, allegedly anyway, being an atheist, quote-unquote, pro-lifer, anti-abortion person, and then later becoming Catholic, which is kind of an odyssey for him, but he has very interesting ways of talking about it, and also very interesting ways of talking about how he justified impregnating his girlfriend and then deciding that he was the one to perform the abortion on her, which is not necessarily a very ethical thing to do in the medical ethics realm. Basically walking around and saying, well, they didn't call, as he said to us on video, well, they couldn't have caught me, so why should I ever be concerned about that? And now he calls himself a medical ethicist. Well, you know, it's a very interesting string of things, and we've reported on that on the other basically Trophy Confort article on our website. So let me stop there and hand it back over to the Reverend.
My mind is boggled when you talk to me about these shitheads. There is so much information, and we just had a barfing dinner where we were eating and talking about these people. And the two things I want to get to, whether we do it now or later, is something you touched on, which is ultimately the value system that is a commonality between all of these far-right religious groups and biblical America groups. And also, specifically, the militarization of some of them, like the God's Got an Army video by Carmen, and the people who actually use coercive imagery or rhetoric as a message, like it's okay to beat somebody over the head or hold a gun to their head and force them to convert or be subjected to their Puritan and Christian supremacist value system. Do you want to start or?
I wouldn't so much say that it's the, hold gun to someone's head to cause them to convert so much as it is almost a web of coercion in terms of we'll feed you if you convert. We'll give you housing if you convert.
Like Iraq.
Like Iraq. Funny about that. Like lots and lots of refugee projects. One of the things that you'll see, for example, in Afghanistan is some of the first organizations to go in, here domestically, were exactly that, the evangelical Christians, who view war as an opportunity, who view human suffering and poverty as an opportunity to convert people who are in positions of need, positions where they need things from the organizations. And so, just as here in the States, for example, organizations like Chuck Colson's Prison Fellowship may go after prisoners, but more importantly, may go after the sons and daughters of prisoners who are left behind. And aiming, at the needs and the desires and the fears of the children as their fathers are locked away. It's more of a web. It's indirect quite often, and it's hard to point exactly at this right here is the problem. But it's sort of... it's an entire system aimed at gaining conversion, which is the reason, if you look at the early origins of what we call CPICs, Coercive Pregnancy Indoctrination Centers, which perhaps you refer to as fake clinics or pregnancy distress centers. Pregnancy isn't distress. Pregnancy can be many things. But the upshot is that if you look at the beginning of the crisis pregnancy industry, organizations like CareNet, what went on to become CareNet, were founded by people such as Billy Graham, who is in the conversion business. He's out for religious converts. Now, why would Billy Graham be interested in pregnant women? Well, it's very simple. They're in a position of need. They're in a position of vulnerability.
And he did it.
Well, I don't know whether or not Billy has little bastards in his closet or not. That's really between the man and his God.
Well, that's almost hard to resist because the Reverend likes to have a good laugh over the fact that the more to the right these people talk and push policies and laws for everybody, we're Christian supremacists, we're pro-abstinence, anti-birth control and abortion, we hate sex, we want to censor everything, the more affairs, and if you read Blinded by the Right, even gay affairs, interesting for homophobes, and dancers, sex workers, the like, that seem to, even if they're followers and easily led cult like zombie people, do live up to these idiotic codes of behavior, these leaders certainly are not. And so the Reverend always has a good laugh over the hot and juicy scandals of the leadership of the far right, and even Randall Terry of Operation Rescue, and the even further extreme types.
Well, I think we've identified a number of different values that we feel are very core components or even building blocks of biblical America. And deniability is one of them. the ability to do one thing and say the exact opposite. For many people, this kind of cognitive dissonance drives them to actually sync up their behaviors with their words. But what we're finding in biblical Americans is that they not only tolerate the dissonance, they really enjoy it.
In the social work profession, that's called management.
Ah.
Yeah, we are certainly not, you know, we may sound like professionals sometimes, but neither of us have a degree in this field, which is kind of interesting. We're both, or any field, we're both college dropouts, and
you have an honorary doctorate in this field.
We haven't quite gotten to that point yet, but in any event, but there's this whole aspect of, you know, it's almost as if, you know, people, I think, popularly tend to think of the religious fanatics and quote-unquote Bible thumpers as being hypocrites, and that's a bad thing. But I sometimes think that in their community, hypocrisy, or saying one thing and doing another, or being of two minds, as has been sometimes said in Promise Keeper circles, it's almost as if hypocrisy is valued and expected. It's expected that you will never live up to what they say they're about. It's expected that you will transgress, and that just gives them more opportunities to get their claws in you when you do transgress and you do fail, because failure is kind of expected in the whole thing. And of course, there's this whole aspect of what we call deniability, in that there is a separation between personal responsibility and God and what actually happens. They tend to, when things happen, throw a lot of credit to the quote unquote God, and for instance, when James Dobson of Focus on the Family talks about his enormous operation out in Colorado Springs, which is one of the places we visited, actually, he's very very deferential to quote unquote God and saying, well, God is responsible for all these things. Well, that's not necessarily true. He's the CEO of an enormous organization that's relatively successful, that can afford to do that, and it's his management skills and those of a lot of other people that made that all happen. But they'll deny all that, which I think is rather odd, to go and, you know, direct all the credit to something else, because that's the way their whole system operates, and they value doing that. It's the virtual institution of God takes all the credit. So that's, some of the things we've seen, anyway.
We're talking to Barf, Mike and Sabina from the Biblical America Resistance Front at barf.org, and we're going to talk to them some more after this next set of music. A lot of people were aware and busted me on the fact that I played the wrong song by the Dayglow Abortions last week for our Veterans Day for Clinic Defenders show. I did. I played Bedtime Story last week, which was one song later. It was the caffeine's fault. Anyway, I'm going to play the right track tonight, and I queued it up myself, so I know it's right. By the Dayglow Abortions, from the Fetus a Fetus album, a classic. This is for the subjects we have been talking about, the figureheads of biblical America, the theocratic right, the role models of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, the Christian supremacists, the faith-based social services providers, the implementers of the fake clinics ad nauseum. This is the Dayglow Abortions doing Die, Sinner, Die. Play. Okay, our first birthday song.
And now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun.
We're going to play a song for Max, the husband of Dr. Susan Block, drsusanblock.com, who had a really hot show on last night. I really regret missing it, but I don't regret seeing the Peekaboo review. The Reverend was on the Dr. Susan Block show 1 year ago, and we'll celebrate that next week, which is exactly 1 year later. Dr. Susan Block, a good friend of the Reverend, and Max, the mysterious voice from the background during her shows, who just had a birthday. And this goes out to him. This is Ann Magnuson, ex-Bongwater vocalist and songwriter from, I don't know if it's a movie or one of her television projects, but it says from The Love Show. This is called Sex with the Devil.
Hey, everyone. Hey, baby.
What?
Psst. Come over here, my pretty, pretty.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, you. Wanna have some fun?
Yeah, sure, I guess so. What's the cover?
Well, the first ride is free. Come on in, things are just starting to cook.
Oh, I don't know. It's looking kind of dark down there.
We have many things for your pleasure. Tarot cards, sword swallowers, a Ouija board.
A Ouija board? Oh, I just love a Ouija board.
And that guy in the world is playing a midnight acoustic sound.
Really? Is he so loud?
We have the books. We have the very special jukebox in the back room.
Oh.
over there in Salem, Massachusetts, or New England somewhere. And I was walking by a town square where they were having some kind of public execution. And I see that they got some chick tied to a stake like Joan of Arc or something. As I get closer, I notice it's my mother. Except she looks just like Ethel Merman. And they got this big wooden vise attached to her head, and they're twisting the knobs tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter around her head. And as they're twisting away, as they're twisting away, as they're twisting away, Ethel, my mom, looks around and she sees me and her daughter staring at her from the crowd. With tears in her eyes, tears in her eyes, she tells me she loves me. Except she sings, I love you. Because she lived with cats and worked with herbs, why, before we know it, the FDA is going to destroy the entire holistic community.
Okay, we have our first barf-related song. So while we're barfing on the biblical American Christian supremacist Taliban clones and role models, etc., we're going to play a song by Root Boy Slim and the Sex Change Band with the Rootettes in this particular lineup. This is called Boogie Till You Puke, followed by National Lampoon's Confession.
You Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
And how long has it been since your last confession, my
About
son?
About 4 months, I guess, Father.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I missed Mass about 15 times. I lied a lot. I fucked this girl. Excuse my French, Father. I went all the way with this girl.
Don't be embarrassed, my son. I've heard it all before. I've heard much, much worse than that.
You heard cunnilingus?
I hear that from second graders.
Wow. Wobbly warhead, you heard that? Slamming a warhead at her?
Years ago.
Low clearance clit, you heard that?
Dwarf cock.
Bosom burger?
Scrotum breath.
Albino beaver?
Iguana tits.
You know what we used to call nuns? Penguin pussy.
You bangy bottom.
Madam ovary?
Slime slit.
Mashy nipple lick?
Pug nuts.
Cock nose?
Vagina.
Oriental crack?
Superdome pussy.
Afterbirth on toast? That's pizza.
Punk piss.
Hillbilly snatch?
Boob puss.
You're rhino clit?
Rhino clit? That's disgusting. That's terrible. Nice mouth. You kiss your mother with that mouth? You eat with that mouth? Garbage mouth.
Garbage mouth? Toilet tongue? Sewer mouth, sewer chute.
This is Jello Biafra, and I've heard the good news. Reverend Bookburn is on The Reverend Is In at RadioVolta.org and InfidelGuy.com. This is Jello.
Neighbors, no one loves you like he loves you. And no one cares like he cares. Neighbors, let us join today in the holy love of God and money. Because neighbors, no one loves you like he loves you. And what better way to show your love than to dig deep into your pockets? Dig real deep and give until it hurts. Alleviate your guilt. Free yourself once again, because he gave to you, brothers and sisters. Please give a $10, $25, or $50 tax-deductible donation, and I assure you your modest pledge will be used to censor TV and radio, ban questionable books, and contribute to many other godly services. No longer will young Christian Americans hedonistically indulge in as a gifted submission to rhythmic music, or with your monetary support, there is no end to what we can achieve in this country. The voice of God is government. The voice of God is government. The voice of God is government. And God pays trust. Can't you see what we believe in? All our thoughts and all our reasons, food of life and liberty. Happiness we cannot save. Because truth of the mighty voice of God is all your real choice. I am in the chase of our sex and serve with one small fraud. The voice of God is government. The voice of God is government. The voice of God is government. If we show God and Jesus Christ, religious love is sacrificed. It's up for God, it's shown to us. Nothing's left, never crashed. I repent that we're a thief. Our money is that for God's peace. Build a $1 million church. Money spent on God's church. Voice of God is government. Voice of God is government. Voice of God is government. God is government. God's a deal, a certain voice you cannot feel. Love for money and God's name. This is not what TV gave.
You heard Bad Religion doing Voice of God is Government. Before that, from National Lampoon, Confession. And that's from the That's Not Funny, That's Sick album. Root Boy Slim and the Sex Change Band did Boogie Till You Puke. Ann Magnuson did Sex with the Devil. Cheech and Chung did Earache My Eye from the soundtrack to Up in Smoke. And started off with the Dayglow Abortions. Die, Sinner, Die. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight is a very special show. Live guests, Mike and Sabina from the Biblical America Resistance Front, which is also known as barf.org, and I can't wait to get to this, and I know there's way too much stuff to cover, but you had breakfast with a very interesting person, a certain fat Teletubby fearing Christian supremacist, sex negative, allegedly, at least until it's dark, named Reverend Jerry Falwell. Please tell me about breakfast with Jerry, because it's so fucking funny.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I wouldn't quite call it breakfast with Jerry. You might call it breakfast in the same hotel lobby with Jerry, or the same vicinity with Jerry. But on one of our expeditions down to Fort Lauderdale to watch the D. James Kennedy's Reclaiming America for Christ conference, it's kind of like, you know, it's hard to say that there's really a right-wing conspiracy, but there are these nexies, you might say, where all these people meet up, and some people sometimes talk about the Council for National Policy as being the center of the right-wing conspiracy. Well, that's not really it. What it is that it's these conventions where all these people get in the same room and talk shop and talk about how they're going to get financing and talk to people who have financing and set all sorts of agendas and timetables as to when certain things are going to happen. So anyway, we were in Fort Lauderdale, and what happens is that we are sitting in the convention hotel, and we're going downstairs and having breakfast. You know, it's usual one of these major hotels with major hotels with breakfast and everything else provided. And so anyway, what happens is that we sit down, go down, and we, you know, sit down at our tables, and we look around. And what happens is that we start recognizing people, and we notice over on one table is Don Wildman, who you might know is a man who runs the American Family Association out of wonderful Tupelo, Mississippi. He's the man who went around and around in the 70s and 80s, you know, going after various people with, various major networks about various things that he didn't like about what the major networks were doing. And then you look around a little bit further, and there's another table over in the corner where a bunch of people are seated, and if you look closely, you see that Jerry Falwell is sitting there, and he's very carefully seated with his back to the rest of the room so that people won't recognize him, because he's basically, of that group, is probably the most recognizable person. And then you look, and then you see someone else walking around who is not very recognizable, because he's going around and bussing people's trays from that table. And what's happening is that you find out that Ken Starr is bussing these trays off of this table. Yeah, I guess you could say that. But Ken Starr just looks like the average government bureaucrat, and he can walk around through a hotel lobby with all sorts of other things going on, like, I guess it was some kind of a World War II glider pilots convention. You talk about real heroes, people who get into an airplane with no engine and go fly into enemy territory. This is, you know, this sounds real crazy to me, but some people did live to tell about it, and many years later they're having a convention in the same hotel as is around the corner from this big Reclaiming America for Christ convention. So, but Ken Starr can walk through that crowd and not be recognized, which is really kind of interesting, because he just looks like a completely average guy, and considering the amount of damage and the amount of money he's cost this country, it's really kind of interesting. And now there are people hanging around that table with Falwell, including Alan Sears, who is another person who you might recognize, similar to like Jay Sekulow, who was not in that group, but one of the people who runs a legal organization that basically goes around and tries to exert a Christian supremacist agenda through the legal system with varying degrees of success. But Alan Sears is a different animal from Pat Robertson's organization. But anyway, that's one interesting story of the few that we have from running around and seeing these conventions and seeing these people.
Okay, God, what to cover in one show. You have been to And I only bring this up because I make fun of him so much on this show. You went to Elvis's Graceland. Do you want to talk about that?
I will gladly talk about Graceland. We talk a lot sometimes about the difference between kind of background cultural Christianity in America versus the more, the less benign variety, shall we say, which is more aimed at actual conversion and power and taking over. And so we went to Graceland, and we saw Elvis's house and Elvis's mother's house, and we saw Elvis's grave, and if you look, you will see, you know, various tokens left and various flower arrangements, and many of them, aside from the grave itself, will mention God. But many of them are just very... they are the background noise that is American cultural Christianity. They are not aimed at converting people. They are just simply the "he shall rise again" variety.
They are not obnoxious track layers.
Was there also like a golden hot dog and barbiturate bowl by in honor of Elvis by the grave?
Actually, that may have been upstairs, but they wouldn't let mere visitors such as us go upstairs on the tour.
Okay, we've given the Asshole of the Week award in the past to a pedophile priest named Father Francis Pavone, who is the head of Priests for Life. A women's clinic harasser organization. You have done research and have met Father Pavone? Father Bone?
I wouldn't say that we and Pavone are on speaking terms. We're not on speaking terms with very many people, but they have spoken to us in the past. Certainly Flip Benham has. The last time he was speaking to me, he was basically asking me who let me out of my rat hole, which is a wonderful thing to hear from a man of the cloth. But in the case of quote-unquote Father Frank Pavone, he is the head of Priests for Life, and he is basically what I would call a Vatican embassy. He is tied into, he makes trips to Rome, and he is... I wouldn't say exactly doing, the Pope's bidding. We really don't know what the interior of the Vatican looks like, but obviously he goes to the Vatican and is representative of some power faction there, and then he comes to the United States and goes and makes trouble. And the interesting thing is that, he's on the board of an organization called the Center for Bioethical Reform, which is a title that has absolutely nothing to do with what they do, because what they do is that they go from campus to campus in this country with large signs, and they put them up in various places, and they basically start arguments with people for a number of different reasons, including to demoralize people who disagree with them, and to identify who disagrees with them, which is something that they do because they basically want to try to demobilize activists who work in support of things like abortion rights and things that the CBR is definitely working to squash. Excuse me. So Pavone is definitely working in that area. And the other area he works with is liaison into the evangelical Protestant community. Where I last saw Pavone was... less than a month ago, the group that was supporting Roy Moore and his Rock down in Montgomery, Alabama, after the Rock got put away in a closet, and I guess it's still in the closet at this point, and Roy Moore was removed temporarily. He has since been removed permanently as Chief Justice in Alabama. They had a kind of a road caravan with a bunch of people who were working down there to do all the demonstrations and things, including Patrick Mahoney and basically Rob Schenck also, who calls himself the head of the National Clergy Council, which for all we know could be just a computer in his basement. I don't know, but he says he represents thousands of allegedly quote unquote clergy in this country. But obviously he represents some faction because he obviously keeps them in groceries. But in any event, that whole little crowd came up and did a big demonstration in front of the Supreme Court on the first day that the Supreme Court session opened, very briefly because it was a Jewish high holiday. Holy Day. And in the course of all the speakers who were, of course, Schenck and Mahoney and a bunch of these other luminaries of the militant evangelical biblical American stripe, in the middle of all this is a Catholic by the name of Frank Pavone, okay, who is going on and basically attempting to play constitutional lawyer. Of course, he's not a lawyer. He has no clue at all of what's going on. And he's basically saying, well, not in these words, but basically his argument is that there should be no checks and balances in American government, that the Congress should be able to make whatever law it damn well pleases, and the president, or the occupant of the White House, depending on how you want to phrase it today, can make whatever decrees he wants to as the imperial president. And the justices should not have any say over this whatsoever, because the people have spoken, or the president, quote-unquote, has spoken. And they should just have nothing to do with each other, which is really a really pretty absurd way of looking at the American government after, you know, 200 plus years of it being something very different than that. And this really does give you an idea of, you know, the kind of the inside of what you know, Frank Pavone's brain looks like in terms of what they'd like to see. And the problem is that unless you're willing to stand out in front of the Supreme Court for an hour or two and sit through a lot of stomach-churning material to get to the interesting parts where they say these crazy things, you won't stick around for it. I mean, the press is there, but they put their cameras on for certain things and not for others, and you'll never see it reported. So, you know, we kind of stuck in some cases of going to things we really can't stomach just to keep track of these more interesting things. So here you go.
Well, I know that I would barf if I was in the company of these people all the time, and in some ways I am, but it would, you're killing me, but yeah, wherever you are, they are exactly, but, so you do have a lot of stomach, to always be around these people and at their functions and events. One group I wanted to ask, we have a list of about 300 fucking crazy Taliban types, but, one group I wanted to make sure we touched on, well, not touched on, but one group I wanted to talk about was...
Sure, you wear condoms when you do that.
I'll wear a fucking body bag if I touch the member of the Christian Coalition. But there was one group I wanted to talk about, because Pat Robertson has been less in the news since everybody kind of dismissed him as a fucking nutcase after he advocated bombing the State Department, and Ralph Reed took off to become a consultant for the Republican Party and Enron, the Bush regime's friends, in the corporate crime land. And so there's kind of a new leadership in the Christian Coalition. Do you want to comment about the current state of them? They were once considered like the most powerful biblical America group in America in the mid-90s. What's happening today with the Christian Coalition?
Well, having gone to the last Christian Coalition conference in Washington, we do have strong stomachs now, don't we? It was actually very interesting, because when you go to a Christian event, you expect to see crosses, you expect to see preachers, you might even expect to see a choir. What you usually don't expect to see is, well, shofars and Jewish prayer shawls and lots and lots of menorahs down in the dealer's room, etc., etc. If you look at where Ralph Reed has ended up, he's working basically coalitioning between Jews and Christians and working hard on Israel at the moment. And that's how basically the Christian Coalition has ended up with this co-optation wholesale of Jewish culture.
Yeah, you raised two really big points. The support Israel thing, and the other is that there is a small, hopefully small, wing of the Jewish faith where they're like a guy we were talking about over dinner. You know who this is? A Joe Lieberman, alias Bush and Drag. Could you comment on Mr. Lieberman?
Well, I think you know, one of the reasons we came up with the term "biblical American" or "a biblical America" is that it doesn't when you talk about a Christian right, okay, you're narrowing the pool of people who when the actual group of people who share these ideas is actually broader than Christianity. Okay, it's someone like Joe Lieberman. Okay, he's a Democrat. He's probably a fairly right wing Democrat, but he's still a Democrat, which makes him a little more left than people are normally thinking of when you're talking about a Christian rightist or a hard rightist or whatever you normally see in the literature, a right winger, okay? But if you listen to what he says and what he does, he's very much in the material control end of things in terms of running around and putting in rating systems and complaining about what's on TV and complaining about language and complaining about the arts and doing all these things, number one. And number two, he's very much in the realm of making sure that religion is, you know, the so-called Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is a religious privileges act, actually, basically making sure that religion is always front and center with government, no matter what, when it really needs to be separated, not completely, because you're never going to get it completely separated, because there's so many people who are religious in this country, but knock it down a few levels and knock it down so that we all of us can feel comfortable participating in government even if we're not religious, okay? And the problem with Joe Lieberman is that he really is a biblical American, and that is something that I think that, you know, our terminology, you know, helps to try and clarify a bit, because otherwise, you know, if you think strictly Christian right or religious right, he doesn't necessarily, or even Christian, he doesn't necessarily show up. And it's really a very, it's a changing landscape out there all the time. The Christian Coalition, which I also attended, had a lot of hard right Orthodox Jews, you might say, speaking from the stage, who had come from Israel to basically plead the case of pushing all the Palestinians off of the West Bank, for among other things, and saying so in not very indirect terms, really. And that really does, that's something that people should really keep an eye on. It doesn't get reported very well in this country, but there is this merging of these things together that, people should really keep an eye on. It doesn't get reported very well.
I just barfed my dinner. We're going to talk some more with Barf from barf.org in a minute. We are going to play some songs and some dedications. And a few quick plugs. The Tell Us the Truth tour is all over North America, featuring Tom Morello, ex Rage Against the Machine, and Audioslave, Billy Bragg, Janine Garofalo, the actress, and others. TellUsTheTruth.org. And in Philadelphia area, it is this Friday night at the Keswick Theater. And the John Coltrane exhibition for the late great jazz legend is in Philadelphia for another couple months. That's from Slot Foundation, Slot, SLOUGHT.org. The Radio Volta benefit is at the website radiovolta.org, and that is Tuesday night at Khyber Pass starting at 9 o'clock. Uncovered documentary, Uncovered, The Whole Truth About Iraq, is available from MoveOn.org. Michael Moore's new book, Dude, Where's My Country, is at MichaelMoore.com. And our friends Bill Baird and Joni Scott are from the Pro-Choice League and also could use a few bucks, and they're at ProChoiceLeague.com. For a long time, I gave the web address of Emergency Contraception, otherwise known as ECP, and the abortion pill, RU486. That web address is no longer valid and goes to a bullshit site. Now the legitimate site is at abortionaccess.org. Abortionaccess.org for emergency contraception, ECP information, so you can spread that to others. And RU486, so you can spread that information to others as well. And we're going to give some awards out also. And that's all for now. I'm so talked out already. So let's play a song by a band I never played on the air before and probably never would have if they weren't controversial. The next two songs warrant an explanation. The second one I'm going to play, sorry, it's very close in here, and my foot just touched somebody, but I think that person liked it. The second song is by DOA, and as you know, we're getting, this is all foreplay to the 25th anniversary of DOA from Vancouver, Canada. And last week we heard a song about anti-abortion terrorists called A Gun and a Bomb. This is from the same CD from when they reunited in 1998 called Festival of Atheists from their SuddenDeath.com label. This is a song they wrote by, or written for, the Christian coalition called If There's God. Also from the Festival of Atheists CD, SuddenDeath.com. But first, we're going to play a song by a band that is upsetting the corporate rock stations, upsetting the Clear Channel and Infinity monopolistic bullshit stations. The band who is upsetting a horrible station I had the mispleasure of hearing with a coworker one day, called The Hawk Station. Interesting fucking name. The Hawk Station. Jethro Tull, whose singer Ian Anderson made some rather sensible remarks about Bush, the Iraq War, the manipulative use of the flag and other symbols and imagery, etc. So they said, we're not going to play Jethro Tull anymore, and we're going to boycott them on our station, and we don't like Jethro Tull, and they made us think, and they're bad. And so we're going to play them. This is actually from a vinyl bootleg that came out in 1971. I don't think it officially came out until 1972, and it's one of their better songs from a bootleg. This is the bad anti-war Jethro Tull doing 17 play.
A dream of our own. more I see is blocking his territory. I look harder, see a child tortured by a devotee who become a vulture. I want them now, keep the devotion. I watch them kill, not the intention. I want them free.
We have another barf related song.
Oops.
From the Alternative Tentacles compilation release entitled Virus 100 from alternativetentacles.com. And please check out Alternative Tentacles and the Jello Biafra spoken word releases. And remember to boycott the corporate scab, Dead Kennedys, on other labels. We're going to play from Virus 100 a track by Evan Johns and his H-Bombs, and this goes out to my very special friends and live guests, Mike and Sabina from Barf. Here is their very own Barf song. This is entitled, Too Drunk to Fuck.
Now play the Some people try to pick up girls, get called an asshole. This never happened to Pablo Picasso. Why, he could walk down the street, girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Now I do. Now the girls would turn the color of an avocado when he'd drive down the street in his Eldorado. Why, he was only 5'3". Girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. At New York. Girls get called an asshole. This did not happen to Pablo Picasso. Why, if he could walk down the street, girls could not resist his stare. Subsequently, Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Nope. Not right here. Not like you.
And I'm here to tell you that I'm a very moral, ethical, opinionated, conservative Republican woman of the highest morals and integrity. I stand for America and patriotism, and I lie down and spread for the same damn reasons. I do not suffer gladly any liberal bullshit. Why, I hate liberal Democrats. I loathe everything about them. In fact, strange as it is, I hate them so much that at times I find them irresistibly sexy. Sometimes watching them on TV, whining and pandering to all the special interest groups, like the poor, the minorities, the gays, the idiots in the middle class, makes me so mad that I become turned on. And the sweet juices of my rage flows like a river from my loins. I'm here to tell all you chaste and pure-thinking conservative men and women to throw yourselves naked on the altar of George W. Bush and thank the Lord that he put this intellectual genius in office after the long-suffering years under Bill Clinton's penis. Oh, this is Dr. Laura Hoare saying good day.
Oh, shit, man! Put out a warning when you do one of those, man!
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a very special one. Too loud. Sunday, November 16th, 2003 at RadioVolta.org, AtheistNetwork.com, and two independent radio stations in the state of Washington, one in Seattle, and one where the asshole of the week is. Hey, you guys going to join me on this fart sounds? Let me hear a fart sound. Laura Shea, my last live musical guest, farted for me. Live fart sounds from Bark. From Bark.org. Asshole of the week is Stephen John Jordy, who was captured. Fart sounds are too loud, says Kate. Stephen John Jordy, who was captured this week, an anti-abortion terrorist, like many who have been issuing death threats and threats of terrorism against the entire nation since the September 2003 execution of anti-abortion assassin Paul Hill in the state of Florida. Stephen John Jordy bought bomb-making materials, all kinds of supplies necessary, and plotted multiple bombings throughout North America, citing Paul Hill and Eric Rudolph, who was in hiding for about 5 years, as his heroes and role models. So yes, another Christian Al-Qaeda type, Stephen John Jordy, captured this week, plotting the bombing of multiple women's clinics in America. And asshole of the week, I'd like to thank the Biblical America Resistance Front for their live fart sounds, including the one I'm wearing on the side of my face for that. Alright, I've heard enough of these fucking sounds. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Laura Hoare. Burning Sensations did Pablo Picasso from the soundtrack of Repo Man. Evan Johns and the H-Bombs did Too Drunk to Fuck. DOA did If There's a God and started off with Jethro Tull doing 17. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In, and it is on every Sunday night live at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, USA. A few plugs. Last Talking with Barf, and then a final song or two. Check out new animation called Voting Machines at TooStupidToBePresident.com. And check out the wife of Max the Birthday Boy, Dr. Susan Block, drsusanblock.com, whose live guest last night was the very interesting Mistress Crystal White. And also Dr. Susie's Have a Strap On, Happy Holiday Season. And her editorial Ayatollah extreme asscraft about Ayatollah asscraft John Ashcroft, who couldn't be bothered with anti-abortion terrorists. He has important things to do, like prosecute Extreme Associates Video Company and planning to prosecute late-term abortion doctors. My own fart sound. Blah blah blah. Okay, write to me, Rev Bookburn, care of Quayle, Q-U-A-Y-L-E, Quayle at sjcdc.org, and give me your ideas for the Holiday Tree and Balls special with live musical guests Lisa Bouchel and Laura Shea. And one more award. We forgot to give the Buffoon of the Week award, and that goes to singer Beyonce, who criticized the Madonna and Britney kiss because she had to as a child of God. Well, you know, we have long suspected that you were kind of like in this oral kind of daisy chain triangle with the other two members of Destiny's Child. But if that's not true, if our suspicions are false, maybe you should have, because your band might still be together and you wouldn't all be bickering and getting into all this aggression and pettiness. But that's just my clergy counseling of the week. But otherwise, if it involves other people and doesn't involve you, it may be a good idea to kind of shut the fuck up and mind your own business, you fucking brainless corporate entertainment bag of wind. But that's just my opinion. No aggression, really. All right, the Reverend thanks the following for information, assistance, or just plain inspiration for tonight's show. God, look at the fucking time. Thank you, Kenny, Amoeba, Lord Jesus, Secret Chimp, Ed Gold, Ms. Terry, Angela, Madam X, and all coworkers and professional colleagues who helped save the life of the wonderful Cassie the Cat. Thank you, Cassie the Cat. Anne Marie, Scott Johnson of Peekaboo Review, Goddess Perlman, the cast of Peekaboo Review, Nisi from Five Spot Club, Sister Pisan and Scott, Liz Butt, Justin Brook, Mr. Zvi, Laura Shea, Lisa Bouchel, Plantard and the UK Bookburners, the European, Australian, Brazilian, and Canadian Bookburners, and all North Americans, Hippie John, Heidi Helper, Heidi Planner, the Coffee Goddess's Mother Therese, the Coffee Goddess Twins, Coffee Goddess Maria, and new Coffee Goddess Shannon, who may come on the show to do hexes on the evil men who run their establishment. Dark Lady and her new honey from darklady.com. Dr. Susan Block and Max the Birthday Boy. Melanie from the Dr. Susie Show and Elegant Angel Video. Deicide, Renee Bryant, Paul Krasner from paulkrasner.com. Check out his books and CDs. Pro-Choice Lig, All Clinic Defenders, Pie Man, Jennifer Hunter, the Washington stations that do the show, Radio Volta, Dallas Blanchard, and most of all to Mike and Sabina from BARF, Biblical America Resistance Front, barf.org. Alright, we are going to be short and sweet and say that out of your vast experience and knowledge barfing at all of these fucking horrors, these people who are to make Bin Laden look a little more rational than he already looks. Well, yeah, exaggeration, but they're all fucking... Anyway, what would you like to say that maybe hasn't been said in the corporate media, hasn't been said anywhere, information or thought or theory, say anything, who cares what the fucking haters who listen and religious propagandists who email me and FCC and anybody else think, say anything.
Oh, that we're unapologetic pro-aborts?
Absolutely
unrepentant pro-aborts here, and we were going to go into another segment on how we are, you know, basically pro-abortion, openly so, and not necessarily wimpy pro-choicers. Did I say that? Maybe I shouldn't have said. Well, no, I'll just refer people to our website where we have a article about choice, which is few years old, and we still think it's valid, and we could probably elaborate on that, but we'd be here for another hour or two, and it's 10:58 Eastern Time. But I just thought I'd mention that, of course, our website is at barf.org, and for some strange reason you ever want to contact us after hearing us on the radio, or whatever this medium is in actuality, bits flying across the internet, go to barf.org, and at the very bottom of our page there is a link marked Contacts, and you can get an email address and physical snail mail address through there at Contacts at the bottom of the page at barf.org. So here's Sabina with a few last words, maybe.
Sabina's tip of the week. The next time you're on your campus and someone like CBR, Center for Bioethical Reform, shows up on your campus with pretty blender baby bits, B-A-Y-B-E-E, it's very important for you to remember that, first of all, if you happen to see a lovely little fetus with its head right side up, you are looking at propaganda, or a breech birth, which is unhealthy. Proper pregnancy is head down. Nice little head between pelvic bones, not up. Just your kind, gentle reminder.
Well, you know that the Reverend is going to bridge the two sides of the worst war in the nation, the abortion wars. That's just one stream. When the abortion battle, when the Reverend's fetus cookbook is published, because when they hold up their bad fetal art, which isn't real pictures anyway, we obviously know that, but it's not just bad fetal art, but it's also evidence that those items are severely undercooked, thus providing the need for my book. So, in fact, if you eat these Paul Hill leftovers I saved for you from the Cooking with Paul Hill show, you'll see that the Reverend's world famous.
This is the Atheist Radio Network.